this either is, has been, or will be a Krypton Radio production as soon as we can get the TARDIS working properly to figure out which one it is!
The Mark of the Corsair, fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo or herself a couple of times. Ooh, she was a bad girl!
And so are we! Again, down a man!
What? Or a mad woman.
Or a mad woman. Yes, down with the plague. Here we are in the Corsair's Closet. I am not Mad Woman with a box. I am the Time Siren. Mad Woman is in absentia. With me is the awful husband.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello to yourself.
Good for those of you who don't live in Southern California, there seems to be a bug going around.
Yeah, and we've also had a little bit of, well, not shake and bake, but we had some little rumblings.
Shake, rattle, and roll.
Yeah, and all my peeps on Facebook, boy, I could tell if you were in the area or not because you were talking about it. It's, boy, awesome. And hoot, we are alive. It was no big deal. If you're a Californian, you know, we tend to place bets on stuff like that. We don't run in terror until it gets really big, but I think that's just instinct.
Yeah.
Anywho, we have had kind of a slow news week, but we do have a couple of, two big things to talk about. I'm going to start actually with the smaller one, one that is not of two, but three! We have three things to talk about this week. Okay, so I was on Facebook the other day, Mr. NASA Nerd here, and I saw something just so awesome, I had to click on it. Do you ever see things that, you know, on Facebook that just look so shiny and wonderful in an ad? And you're like, I'm not going to click on this ad. I'm not going to click. Ooh, Doctor Who tease.
Tea?
Adagio tease. They had an ad for a Doctor Who sampler. Now,
that's drinking teas, not t-shirt teas.
Right. Yeah. Yes, for once, this is not Tea Fury. This is not the awesome stuff that they have on you know, the 24-hour hit and run. Okay, you've got to get this amazing caricature of your favorite Time Lord. No, this is actual drinking tea.
This is like 4 o'clock, time for tea.
Yes, exactly. This is Brit tea. They have this cool thing. This place called Adagio Teas, and it is adagio.com, adagio.com. And it was for a Doctor Who sampler. And in the sampler, they have these teas named after Doctors 9, 10, 11, River Song, Amy Pond, Rory Williams. And they're awesome. They have, these tins have wonderful little caricatures on them. The teas are specialized. I'll give you an idea here by reading off a couple of them. And they fit the personalities great. For 10, it's a rich, sweet, and bright blend full of quirks and just a touch bananas. A tea you'll find yourself constantly reaching for. 11, which consists of vanilla, coconut, and apple pieces. Edging the line of quirky and dark, this tea is unfailingly sweet and as strong as you could ask for. River Song, and if it's not a doctor, they don't put down exactly what the ingredients are on the outside. So we don't know what's in Sue River Songs because it says, I could describe this tea, but that would be spoilers.
That's cute.
Yes. Amy Pond, fiery, a bit tart, and ready for adventure. She's the blend that waited. Rory Williams, sweet, strong, and resilient. Rory is the cuppa that won't quit. I like that.
Yeah,
and it says Rory Williams. Williams is crossed off and says Pond.
Rory Pond.
So these are fans. I suggest these are awesome little goodies here. This sampler set is only $19. And it comes in a nice box. And if you like tea and you like Doctor Who...
Oh, and they come in tins. I didn't catch that before.
They're totally set.
So they're like little collectible tins. You could put your...
Yes.
Your pills or your buttons or your beads or something else.
Or your emergency sewing kit for cosplay.
There
you
go.
There. We tied it into cosplay. This is why I brought this up. Well, no, not really, because it's Doctor Who and it's geeky. It looks like it's made by fans for fans. They not only have Doctor Who samplers. I went to the homepage here and they have got every freaking fan genre you could imagine. It's just awesome-tacular what they've got here. I will give you a really quick idea of all the different fanishness and sanity that these creatures are. Hang on a second.
This is amazing, the variety they have. I was really impressed.
Yes.
These people are fans.
They are complete fans. It is the neatest stuff.
Yeah, I'm just moving.
Okay, so when you click on fandom blends or fandom samplers or framed fandoms, you're already getting the idea that there's a lot here, right? Okay, they have such ones as for the different characters in Avatar. They've got Sherlock. They've got Teen Wolf. They have a section called Random Fandoms, which Percy Jackson.
Percy Jackson, look at
which
that.
Is awesome. They've got some for the more mundane taste, Alice in Wonderland.
That's still fanish.
Look at this.
Oh, Teen Titans.
Not Teen Titans, Teen Titans. And this
so you
is
changed
where...
the word team to T.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Yes. And the pictures on them are Beast Boy, Slade, Mammoth, and the Masmenos, which is interesting because I guess they're trying to appeal to
that must be a Spanish tea, I would think. Yeah,
exactly. Probably. So you get the idea. Of course, you've got Star Trek, Teen Wolf, which Mad Woman would love to see, Legend of Korra. I know a couple of our friends would really be into that. This, you just have to go to this site and look at this. They've got anime, Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon tea, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's just something for everybody. And they have more than one Doctor Who there. They've got one with Ace McShane, Nyssa, Cyberman, Susan Foreman, and they're just accompanied by really nice artwork.
Oh, companion tees.
You could say that they're companion tees, yes. Yeah. And so anyway, oh, and they cover...
Les Miserables?
Yeah.
Sleepy Hollow?
Yes, yes. It's... you know, it never ends, as fandom never ends, because they keep making new stuff for us. Supernatural, Kingdom Hearts, MST 3000 with Tom Servo, Gypsy, Cambot, Crow-T Robot. Of course, spelled T-E-A. It's just too much fun for this page. So even go if you just want to look. But the link we will have on our website is unique. Oh, a $5 coupon just popped up, too. Cool. Because it's the link from the Facebook promotion, which gives you an inexpensive price for the Doctor Who tea sampler. It's only $19, and that includes 6 sample tins.
I get just for the tins.
It's more expensive. Yes, exactly. It's usually more expensive than that. So click on our link. Favorite them. We do not get a kickback for it, but we just thought it was just like a really cute, nifty, crazy thing. So back to our list. And, okay, so our main thing is we are going to talk about and actually play the 10-minute interview with Clockwork Couture, one of the owners, Joshua. But before we do that, something tonight that I found that, okay, Awful Husband, this just really got to me, Anne, and I noticed when I was playing it for you, it got to you too.
Yeah, this gets you choked up, and this is awesome.
Yes, Will Wheaton's response to a little girl on how to deal with being called a nerd.
When you were a kid, were you called a nerd, and if so, how did you deal with it?
When I was a little boy, I was called a nerd all the time, because I didn't like sports, I loved to read, I liked math and science, I thought school was really cool, and it hurt a lot, because it's never okay when a person makes fun of you for something like you didn't choose. You know, we don't choose to be nerds. We can't help it that we like these things. And we shouldn't apologize for liking these things. I wish that I could tell you that there is a really easy way to just not care. But the truth is, it hurts. But here's the thing that you might be able to understand. As a matter of fact, I'm confident you'll be able to understand this because you asked this question. When a person makes fun of you, when a person is cruel to you, it has nothing to do with you. It's not about what you said. It's not about what you did. It's not about what you love. It's about them feeling bad about themselves. They feel sad. They don't get positive attention from their parents. They don't feel as smart as you. They don't understand the things that you understand. Maybe one of their parents is really pushing them to be a cheerleader or a baseball player or an engineer or something that they just don't want to do. So they take that out on you because they can't go and be mean to the person who's actually hurting them. So when a person is cruel to you like that, I know that this is hard, but honestly, the kind and best reaction is to pity them. And don't let them make you feel bad because you love a thing. Maybe find out what they love. and talk about how they love it. I bet you find out that a person who loves tetherball exactly the same way that you love Dr. Hooper, but you just love different things. And I will tell you this, it absolutely gets better as you get older. I know it's really hard when you're in school and you're surrounded by the same 400 people a day that pick on you and make you feel bad about yourself. But there's 50,000 people here this weekend who went through the exact same thing and we're all doing really well. Don't you ever let a person make you feel bad because you love something they decided is only for nerds. Your loving parents for you. Thanks for your question.
Wasn't that fantastic?
You know, Will Wheaton just keeps getting awesomer and awesomer to me.
Yeah, he kind of makes up for all the people that couldn't stand him in, you know, Next Gen.
I mean, first it was his appearances on... first it was his appearances on The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And now this in real life. This is just totally awesome.
He rocked it as Sheldon's mortal enemy, but wow. Yeah, Denver Comic Con was where this was. That wasn't mentioned in the audio. But, you know, I wish I'd had this advice when I was a kid.
And it's absolutely true. It's not about you. It's about the person that's insulting you or bullying you. They're the ones that have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely correct.
Yes. So, it's actually trending as of Sunday night here from the time you were listening to this, a little bit about 3 days earlier. And it was taken last year. Some reason it just now started trending, and it really is something that if there was a handbook for raising kids, boy, this should be in that manual, mm-hmm. definitely.
It reminded me of something. When I was a kid, maybe fourth grade, fifth grade, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But there was this girl in my class, and sometimes she's kind of a bully. She would pinch me, like, with her fingernails, so it really hurt, like, on my arm. But then one day... she said some comments, something weird, like, I bet your dad comes home with a beer can in his hand every night. And even at that age, I realized, well, my dad doesn't drink, my parents don't drink, so he never had beer cans, and she wouldn't know my parents, but it just occurred to me, that must be what she's going through every night. And now that I'm at it, I'm guessing it was.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I never really got into talking about fandom at school when I was a kid. Because my bullying started too young. And I actually chronicled this on our blog. I thought it would be a great thing to open up a new blog on Corsair's Closet. And talk about things that really got to me. And that I want to keep up for in perpetuity. This, you know, this thing. This advice to fans. Because a friend of mine, when I started wearing a cloak out in public all the time. You know, I don't understand why, because they're fans, but they just asked me one day, why are you wearing that? And something came to mind what Madwoman said one time when someone asked me the exact same thing when we were in the theater coming out of a movie. Why are you wearing that? And Liz just said, that's how we roll, how she rolls. And that's something that it is in your DNA. But my friend, who's known me for years, asked the same thing. And I thought, wow, you really don't know me, do you? Because I've been wearing this cloak now for the 2 years you've known me. Why are you surprised anymore? And it's, you know, it's something that I feel that if you want to wear costume pieces in public, like there are some things that steampunkers can get away with. And steampunk, there are some people that wear full steampunk outfits in public. If that's what they want to do, if that's how they feel, you know, that's fine. And I have been wearing a cloak now for, I believe it's been 4 years. I've only gotten ever two or three negative reactions. But everyone else says it's awesome. And I think, NASA nerd, that that's because it's part of what I am so much that people just accept that I can rock it. And I look, you know, I look good in it. And I'm not saying that with any kind of ego. It's just a fact that it's not like I'm being a weird, creepy fan. You know, it's something that, you know, in my 50s here, my skin is more prone to skin cancer and I'm getting, you know, I've always hated the sun, and I'm a little sensitive to it. So I wanted additional protection. It looks cool. You know, and yeah, I get the Darth Vader jokes, and I get the, oh, you look like Raven with that blue cloak on, you know, mocking.
I would take that as a compliment.
But yeah.
I'm a Teen Titan fan.
It really doesn't bother me, because more, 90% of the time, and every time I go out in a cloak, I get at least one or two people comment. I mean, you've been with me.
Yes.
Right.
A cloak is unusual, especially here in Southern California.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're going to get comments, but it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks very cool. It's a very good cloak. It's not anything shaggy or raggy. I mean, it's a very nice cloak. And, so most of the comments are positive because it's cool.
Yeah.
And it does attract attention because it's unusual.
Yeah. Which is interesting because, you know, Muslim women and Indian women, they wear traditional garb. So, and once in a while I do get that question of, well, why are you wearing it? I usually go with something safe and non-religious, non-inflammatory. I don't sit there and say, oh, I'm, you know, mysterious or I'm a fan. I just say, you know, I don't like the sun doesn't like me, and leave it at that. Because unless they're going to talk to me at more length, which some people have, then I explain a little more in depth as to why I wear it.
Well, I mean, like you said, it protects you from the sun in the summer, and it's really warm in the winter, so it just all
it's
season.
It's kind of an all-purpose cloak, yeah. So, but even people that are close to me would kind of, you know, they were almost like they were challenging me to think about, well, why are you wearing this? And I'm sorry, but, you know, it's just a fact of what I am and how I roll. So think about this when you're wearing your costumes out there, when you get bothered by people. Remember what Wil Wheaton said, you know, in this audio that we just played, look at the video, because you see the look in his eyes when he's talking to this girl. And this is a 3-minute conversation. He took this time out of Q&A and felt it was important enough to address this to the child as if she were his own child. I mean, didn't you get that impression?
Yeah, well, he mentioned he was a nerd too, and he was called a nerd because he didn't play sports. He was into that. He liked math. He liked school. So he had the same kind of bullying problem. So he's coming from it from a very personal angle.
He is. It is personal, and he comforts her in the end with a positive message saying, you know, you may have this happen to you every day, but there are 5,000 people here that get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And that was
very powerful. He said, there, you know, there are 50, you know, maybe people don't get you at school, but there are 50,000 people at this con
that do,
that get you. We're all in the same boat and we're doing well.
And there was big applause for that, because I tell you, this guy, he rocks it. I don't know if he has kids, but he is a great example to any kid, his own or anyone else's. So I'm getting choked up talking about it, because he's a wonderful example of a fan who is the most well-adjusted of Hollywood's din of weirdness and iniquity I've ever seen.
Well, you know, he's an example of, you know, less not famous people we know, but a lot of people we know were fans of something and became successful in it. We know people who are fans. Oh, well, here's a story. Yeah. When the Star Wars Special Edition came out, and, you know, they put in all the new special effects and all that, we went to see it at Man's Chinese Theater, where it originally was. And we were looking at the audience, and we were looking at people we know. They're about our age. They were inspired by Star Wars, and they got into the industry. We knew costumers who now had their kids coming to the show. And people who do props, and now they're in the industry. They were inspired by Star Wars. It's what they love.
Yeah.
They made a life out of it.
I actually want to give a shout-out to David Harrington, because I knew him in the original Northern California Star Wars fan club. I ran across him about 10 years ago. And, of course, I was still here in San Fernando Valley. He loved his prop company so much, he had the logo tattooed on his arm, and he showed it to me. He said, you know, I've got to love this, because I just put this on my flesh forever. So, you know, nerds rock the world. You know, they gave us computers. They gave us the ability to go to the moon, for Pete's sake. They give us a lot of hope. And kids don't understand at that age, maybe because they are really having a hard time of it, you know, with their personal life.
They don't understand you like something different. That was one of the most powerful things that Wil Wheaton said. He's like, it's just part of you. You can't help it. You love what you love. And you shouldn't be ashamed of it.
Yeah. In my blog post, I put, it's in my DNA. You know, it isn't something I can stop. Mm. I tried for years, and I tried to play the corporate game and be mundane, quote unquote, at work. And I know I got fired from 2 jobs because of being a fan. And I just got tired of hiding it. And actually, Awful Husband, I want you to go there and read it, because I put in a paragraph of, when it came to married life, there was no way on this planet or any other in this universe I was going to marry a mundane, because I was putting up a front in front of everybody. I wasn't going to do it at home, 24/7. I wasn't going to eat, sleep, and breathe it. And it's just, you know, I needed for home to marry somebody who understood me.
Well, for me, I dated some mundanes.
Ugh, sorry.
But they knew I was a fan, but it never worked out.
No.
So I had to marry a fan that got me.
This is why, you know.
And
definitely.
I didn't hide my fandom, because I had the Star Trek emblem on my shirt, my sweaters, and my jacket. So everybody knew I was a fan.
Yeah. But you were what they called an accepted nerd.
Yeah, I was kind of an accepted nerd. That's what a friend of mine called me.
I'm not quite sure why, but...
Well, because I like Star Trek, but I also like the math and science, and all the people I hung out with were into the math and science classes. So I had this interest in Star Trek, but I was also with them in liking the math. I was in the chess club, and I played Go, and, you know, but everybody I hang out with did the same thing.
Yeah.
So maybe we were all just nerds. I don't know.
I think we were.
Yeah.
I really, really think we were, and that's okay.
But, you know, another answer to me would be, if somebody called me a nerd, I would say, oh, so you think I'm going to own your ass like Bill Gates does now? You want to start paying me now? Fine with me?
Yes. Yes. Go for it. I'm going to own you. I mean, I wonder what the kids of today are responding. I mean, they would have been different, but it still would have been a nerd bent, just like ours was in our time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't worry about people who don't get you. Your friends are the ones that do get you, or at least that understand, even if they don't, you know, aren't in the same fandom you are.
Yeah, and if they don't, they're not friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, another thing, it's a little bit late because it was a couple of weeks ago, but did you hear Gallifrey 1 2015 sold out in 75 minutes? 3,200 tickets.
Yeah, Sean Lyon, who's one of the co-heads of it, said he expected it to sell out in about 72 hours, 3 days. And instead it was 75 minutes.
Wow. That is crazy. Somebody, again, a nerd, figured out that was six-sevenths of a ticket every second that's sold in it, 75 minutes. Now, if you didn't get a ticket, don't panic. We have a friend, Jerry, I want to give a shout-out to you, too. Much love. But... He got stuck in a corporate meeting, a mundane, you know, somebody talking about, you know, aggrandizing himself. And he's stuck in this meeting going, can you stop it? I gotta go get a ticket. By the time he got out, he didn't get a ticket. But there is still hope, because in October, they were going to start initiating transfers. So if you got your tickets, but you find out later you cannot go because of something going on in your life, whatever it is, you know, something comes up last minute.
If
mundanity creeps up. And you can't go, you know, you end up with a terrible long-term illness, or you find you cannot fly anymore if you cross the pond, there will be the ability to transfer your ticket to someone else. Now, 600 tickets were transferred last year, according to the Gallifrey 1 Twitter profile. So they're letting us know, don't panic. There will still be availability for tickets. They will announce it long in advance. There were a few naysayers and complainers going, oh, we had no warning about the tickets being sold, you know, the day they were and a time. Well, you look on the Gallifrey website, it had a huge...
Gally did everything on Facebook, Twitter,
yes,
to tell you.
Their website, yeah. It had a huge practical banner.
They postponed it for 2 weeks at one point. That they made that very clear.
They did. They announced it everywhere. And I mean, unless you were under a rock or you were... dead for tax purposes. How did you miss it?
And if you're not
don't complain.
If you're not following it, you don't want to go to the galley that bad.
No, guess not. I mean, my sister, she, you know, she's really into Doctor Who now, it turns out. It's not because I brainwashed her. It's because I brought out her inner fandom, her and her daughter. And I kept letting them know, okay, the tickets were originally supposed to be sold March 3rd. Oh, nope, now it got bumped down to, you know, 2 weeks later. So even they, who do not normally follow Twitter and follow the Gallifrey 1 Facebook page, even they knew, okay? So your friends and your peeps, you know, everybody knew. So hang in there, October, you know, just, it will happen, trust me. And if you are going to queue up for those transfer tickets, when the room block goes on sale, which I believe is going to be before that, go ahead and reserve your room, because those go even faster. And yes, they may open up another room block like they did last year. I think they opened up, what,
two extra
room
yeah.
blocks.
Well, I'm talking about doing a accompanying hotel, too.
Yeah. I would say still get your room because you can always cancel it.
There are two hotels right next door, so the walk is nothing.
Yeah, and one of them had the equivalent, you know, they had the same rate for the room. Yeah. So it wasn't, you know, it was just as good as if you were at, you know, the convention itself. So don't give up. Don't lose hope. So,
what amazes me is that they sold out and they haven't mentioned one guest yet.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who's coming yet, but everybody wants to go.
Well, it's on the strength of what they've had in the past. I mean, look what they
always
had.
Have good
look what
guests.
They had this year. They had Billy Piper and they had Mr. Bond. So they've got a good track.
And they were last minute. Everybody had already bought their tickets by that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And we always know this happens, and you know they've got this track record. 25
years. They have good
years
connections.
Ago. They do. They do. They're in tight.
Well, you know, Sean Lyons has been doing this, I think, for the whole 25 years.
Oh yeah, he's been since day one.
So he's made some tremendous connections back in England.
Yeah, he has, and his connections have connections. That's how they were able to get Peter Davison, and well, we all know who his relatives are, and they're all they're all either doctors or companions. So. Don't worry about it. Just sign up blind because whoever comes, it's going to rock your world.
It's going to be an awesome convention. Just the people there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the lobby con, which is not an official part of Gallifrey, and they always mention that. But, you know, just the people hanging around and just having a good time and sharing your love, Doctor Who.
It's
one big party.
Amazing. Yeah. It is amazeballs. Mm-hmm. And there was actually a discussion during the fury of us trying to get tickets. We were talking on the Twitter hashtag, which is Galley1, and everybody, really, you need to get on that tag because all of the excitement it creates is fantastic. And they were talking, somebody was defending the Doctor Who convention in the Midwest, and I'm so sorry, I don't remember the name of it, but they were saying, you know, some people were saying, oh, that convention is just as good as Galley. Well, we've got the family feel, though. That's the thing. And people that have gone to both conventions have said that Galley is more, you feel like this is your family. And
there are people that get together just once a year and meet.
Yeah,
and that's how you created friendships.
And Chicago TARDIS, that's the name of it. I apologize. Yeah. It's not that I don't like you guys. I have just never been to you and I've had so much stuff in my brain. Even the Corsair can't sort it out. But Chicago TARDIS, I know you're awesome and I do want to go to you sometime. And they do have awesome events. Somebody came out during that discussion and said, hey, we had a Dalek wedding.
Yes.
And that rocks. I mean, Galley can't ever say they had a Dalek wedding. We had drunk Daleks singing karaoke, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, but if you want the family feel, come to Galley. What are you waiting for? You know, hitchhike across the country if you have to. You know, sleep in a tent. If you can't get a room, it's so worth it.
People from Britain, Doctor Who Land, come over to our convention.
Yeah, you know, if they're going to drop all that money, thousands of dollars on a plane ticket, I mean, come on, what more do you need than that? Okay, so let's kind of move on. There was one or two other things we had on our docket for last week, and we were so brain dead we just couldn't podcast a straight line, so we're going to mention here really quick. Okay. Tenkai Nights.
Yes.
Okay, Awful Husband, explain what Tenkai Nights is. This is your field.
Well, first of all, they're little figures made of these bricks that look like Lego, faux Lego. But, well, when I worked in the toy store years ago, back in the early 80s or mid-80s, there were like about a half dozen companies that came out with faux Lego bricks. And they on the box, they all said, works with Lego, works with Lego. Well, guess what? They all disappeared, but Lego's still around. But this one... looks interesting because it's a brick that actually folds open like a transformer.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the first time I really saw that they actually did something different with the brick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to leave Lego for anything, but I would be interested in getting one or two of those bricks.
Yeah.
Just to see how they unfold and work and all that.
Yeah. So I've been catching this in the mornings because sometimes I'll crawl out of bed really early because it's about the only time I see you on the weekdays since I work home care now. And I caught an episode of Tenkai Nights, which is based on this brick.
It's an anime.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it pretty much is an anime. Mm-hmm. And, okay, we are regular show nerds. If you haven't been listening, or if you haven't, didn't catch this, pay attention. We are absolute Cartoon Network fans and freaks here. We love regular show. And there's a character on there. He's kind of a recurring character I love. His name is Tecmo. He's a technomancer, or a technomage. And the voice actor that does him does the dad in Tenkai Nights.
Yes.
So I thought that cracked me up.
Once you start watching enough anime and cartoons, you start recognizing voices. Like Johnny Yon Bush was on like 3 shows at the same time.
Yeah, that was a day I was so good picking out a voice actor and going, oh, that's him, oh, that's him, yeah. Oh, that's him, oh, that's him. So that was awesome. Jumping back to Gallifrey really quick here. This is a link to check out The Secret Guide to Galley 1, Unofficial Suggestions from and for Gallifrey 1 Attendees. It's a great primer. It talks about, yeah, the tickets are sold out, but here's what you do. Don't panic. It's a wonderful blog. I really gave props to the guy who created this. He's on the Gallifrey 1 hashtag. We have the link in the show notes. Check it out. It's just fun to see it and, get your comments in there and you can pick up some new friends. So, So there's some Star Wars Episode 7 news going on right now. And I'm actually picking this up off the KryptonRadio.com feed. It was back on March 19th. Yeah, I know we're behind, but it's timey-wimey in here. Has anybody noticed? So, new owner Walt Disney Company and doting parent Lucasfilm have announced that Star Wars Episode 7 will begin principal photography in May of this year. With a December 18th, 2015 release date, gads, that seems really close, director J.J. Abrams will have his hands full of taking the reins of another beloved franchise. So
J.J. Abrams is now doing Star Trek and Star Wars.
The film will be set 30 years after Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
I love this. Disney's Bob Iger has confirmed that R2-D2 will reprise his role. But it is the story from his point of view and 3PO, so...
Well, originally the whole series was supposed to be from his point of view.
Yeah.
R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the casting announcements already have been done, including Adam Driver from Girls, Ed Spielers from Downton Abbey. I have to go to Wikipedia and see which one he is, because my senior care lady right now has gotten me back into Downton Abbey. So
good British series if you haven't seen
Fantastic. John Boyega from Breaking Bad, don't know who he is. Jesse Plemons from Friday Night Lights, again, don't know who that is. Theater actor Matthew James Thomas, who was in Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, which I heard was a train wreck because of all the problems with the props, and photographer Ray Fisher. There are rumors of the original cast, by which I mean of the 1970s through 80s movies, being involved, but nothing is confirmed. So, keeping the Star Wars banner flame alive in our hearts and the banner waving, Star Wars, yes, was my second fandom, but I gotta tell you, it was my most intense fandom. I like Star Trek only because it came out earlier. I loved Star Trek 2, but man, when Star Wars came out, it kind of turned my... It exploded my brain like nothing. So I will be as excited about that as I would be about a Doctor Who movie. I'm telling you, boyfriend. Seriously.
And one thing that Disney can do is tell a story. So I have no hesitation about this.
And Abrams can rock it as nobody else can. If you have seen the Star Trek movies recently, hello. It's amazing. So, one more thing here before we get to Clockwork Couture. Yeah. Rolling Stones movie and TV had some interesting pictures, behind the scenes pictures released from the original trilogy of movies. And there are some really cool pictures in here. I mean, pictures of it was a test for the first movie's opening crawl. Harrison Ford smiling at the princess in the last, at the end scene there.
The ceremony scene.
Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher palling around, prop pictures, and Carrie looking through a camera. Interesting silver sheeting that created the hyperspace jump effect. I always thought it was just like all like CGI or something, but this is cool.
I get the impression this is probably something they tested, but I can't see that this was actually used.
I can't either, but it's the way so it cool. Came out. And there was something here, you Darth Vader fans, check this out. We have never ever seen his face. Darth Vader stunt double. Okay, this is full Darth Vader gear minus the helmet. It is not Dave Prowse. It looks like it's somebody else. And it says it's a stunt double. So I'm guessing because of the look of the background, even though it's black and white, that this was on Bespin during the fight scene with Luke. So there's others here a little bit from the later movies. Queen Padme giggling. Warwick Davis and a very young Ben Burtt.
Oh my gosh.
You have to check out his hairstyle. It screams 70s, dude.
It's so 70s. And oh my gosh, Anthony Daniels.
Is so young looking here. It's crazy. Ben Burtt wearing one of these shirts. Did you ever have one of these striped shirts? These black, these blue and red shirts?
I didn't, but it's very 70s.
It is so wonderful looking. You know, so there's a lot of stuff here that's just absolutely cool. We're not going to spoil, you know, all of it. Check it out. Again, link in the show notes. It's from rollingstone.com. So just have some fun and look at that and show your kids and go, yeah, that's what it used to look like with the original movies. And they'll be like, oh, really? Nah, that is the way it was.
You know, it kind of reminded me of this picture I saw maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It was Kirk and Spock from the original series, both in uniform, and the camera was looking down at them. And it's like, where did that shot come from? You know, it had been like, you know, maybe 35 years since then.
Yeah.
It's like, I'd never seen that shot.
You know, they hide these shots away, or somebody comes out of the woodwork
lost or
with
something.
Them.
I don't know.
Or maybe the original people that shot them passed away and these were bequeathed to their kids. But I'm telling you, back in the day, and this is a tip for you costumers out there, we never knew this until I had friends that started to come down to Los Angeles that were costuming. And you had one guy doing Han Solo, one gal doing Princess Leia. They would come down here every so often and come back up with these treasures, which were Japanese photo books. All the shots in them there, Dennis, I swear that you never saw them. They were never released here.
They were never printed here in America.
I still have some of these books, and to this day, some of these photos have never been printed here. So there's...
They just eat up everything. I guess we're more selective of what gets printed.
So check out, you know, a Japanese bookstore. There's a great one in downtown L.A. We can never pronounce the name. We just jokingly call it K's. Because it's a long and convoluted name, but it's in Little Tokyo. It's got all Japanese. It's a huge bookstore. And they have some, you know, good stuff in there, reference for anime as well.
Can you find the title and put it in the show notes?
I will do it in the show notes. Yes, siri, doody doo.
It's a wonderful, because they have books in English, and they also have books in Japanese.
Yeah, so it's a great, you know, it's a great resource.
And it's a great source for J-pop. I buy stuff
there,
too. I was
going to say, haven't you special ordered? You ordered special ordered?
I ordered special ordered some Puffy AmiYumi.
Yes, yes, as
and
well.
And some Japanese movies.
Yeah. So they're very accommodating. They're very nice people. And they do speak English.
Oh, it was the 10th anniversary tour of Puffy AmiYumi video.
Yes.
That's what I got there.
Yes, yes, yes. Fantastic. Yeah.
And they got just cute little chachi things that, you know, you can't find in America, but Japan, like the little erasers and pencils and pens.
Oh, my.
And, you know, the things, the dangly things you hang off your cell phones. And it's just a fun little store.
It is. It's a cute little thing. Lots of Hello Kitty stuff, of course, because it's ginormous over there.
And it's in this, it's a three-story mall. It's small, but it's got lots of different shops and some restaurants. There's a grocery store downstairs I love to get snacks at. Japanese snacks.
There's also something else underground. I think it's called Jungle. And
oh, that's across the street, the Jungle.
Yeah.
That's an anime store.
It's downstairs, but they have the three-dimensional models, which if you are into anime cosplay peeps... And you have a favorite character you're cosplaying, you need to check out, you know, even if it isn't here, if it's somewhere else, you need to check out those models because they give you excellent reference material for the back of costumes, the side of costumes, all angles that they don't show, top, bottom, what the footwear is. You know, maybe they don't have a scene of it in your favorite anime. So, great, fun place to go.
Shout out to Jungle because now there's Jungle and Jungle 2, which is across the street. The original Jungle has all those figures she's talking about. Yeah. From the real cheap ones are like $12 to real expensive ones are like $200.
Yeah.
They have patches and buttons and all that kind of thing. Jungle 2 has a lot of clothing, shirts, Lolita, you know, cosplay costume pieces. That's where they have their video store. So if you go to one, just go across the street theater. It'll tell you how to get there.
Yeah.
And
do yourself a favor.
The two stores are a different experience. So check out both of them.
They are. Fantastic. Okay, so now we come to our much-talked-about main event here. Our
top story tonight.
Has been buried 30 minutes into the show here. Yeah, 36 minutes. Clockwork Couture. Okay, these are a steampunk store in Burbank, squirreled away off the beaten path, ironically on a street called Maine. It is.
Yeah, it's the smallest Main Street I've ever seen.
It is, but it's friendly. It's warm. It's run by two people, a husband and wife team. I interviewed the husband, Joshua, because Donna said she didn't look photogenic that, you know, that day. Shout out to you, Donna. You looked beautiful. You always look beautiful. I would have been very happy to put you on.
Let me get this straight. She wasn't photogenic for a radio interview.
No. Well, okay. That's where the next surprise comes in. Hot on the heels of this, we are finally still, if I can get the editing done tonight, on the video we shot. We have video. And we have our own YouTube channel now. The link will be in the show notes and all over the website. And on the Facebook fan page, which you should have fanned and followed.
Following is important. We found that out.
Yes. Follow it as soon as you like it. Otherwise, you won't see our posts again. It's a video of... I did a slow pan of everything in that store. I crawled every inch of it. There's also a scary secret upstairs. And we were able to see the skeleton in the attic. And believe me, that thing has struck terror into the hearts of millions. And I'm not surprised the BBC dumped it over here after shooting an episode in Manhattan. I will give you that hint.
I wonder what could it be.
Yes, and it is a 10th Doctor episode, so you get a brownie button and a prize and a pat on the head from us if you can figure it out before you actually see the photos in our show notes on Corsairs-Closet.com. And you will love it. You will really love it, especially if you are a fan of these particular things on Doctor Who. So right now we also shot some audio because there were jackhammering next door on the building there, renovating it, and so we're just going to pause here for a moment and let's listen to that awesome interview. Welcome, Corsetaires. This is the time siren from Corsair's Closet. And the TARDIS is currently parked in Burbank, California, at Clockwork Couture, a wonderful little prize for all you steampunkers out there, local and not, squirreled away off the beaten path. And I am here with one of the owners, Joshua.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing fantastic this morning. I'm so pleased that we could stop by and do this. So, tell us about the history of the store. What, how did you start? How did you get to where you are now?
So Clockwork Couture started in our garage in 2008. My wife, Donna, was her brainchild. She said, steampunk is going to be the next big thing, and then sold off her previous company and rolled the money from that over into Clockwork, and just very much grew it from a grassroots kind of thing through message boards, kind of posting pictures of here's some of the stuff that I like, what do you all like, and letting the customers be part of the selection process on the front end. From there, we moved into the front of our duplex and spent about a year there doing a by-appointment-only store, and then about 2 years ago, moved into our location on Main Street in Burbank.
Wow. So that truly was something that you'd been involved in the community before this, and you slowly grew it. And, I love the idea of getting the feedback from the fans, what you want. Because Corsair's Closet, we're about cosplay and Doctor Who bent, because mostly we're Doctor Who nuts and nerds. But there's been steampunk in Doctor Who, going all the way back to the McGann TARDIS console in the movie, which I always dub it as the steampunker's wet dream, because the thing is absolutely freaking beautiful. And actually, you have kind of a peripheral connection to that TARDIS console.
Yeah, when we did our Doctor Who event a couple of weeks ago, we had it was pretty amazing to talk about just the community that, when you start a project and people that come out of the woodwork going, oh, you're doing that? That sounds like fun. By the way, I live around the corner and I've got, the original, TARDIS console from... I've got a Dalek in the garage. Of course you do. Yeah. So people just brought all of their things out. Bob Mitch brought out all of his Doctor's cosplay outfits, which were all amazing. Paul Salamov is the guy who owned all the costumes that of the aliens that he brought out, aside from the Dalek. Greg Aronowitz brought his Dalek out from Time of the Daleks. So yeah, just a lot of people coming out of the woodwork going, oh yeah, we'd love to help. Let's do this. Let's make a big to-do.
That's fantastic. That's kind of like Gallifrey Convention, which we go to every year, is,
people come out of the woodwork there. The McGann TARDIS console has been there for probably about 3 years now. And it's this advantage of living in an area where Hollywood is around the corner. But it's also about the community and the resources that come out of the woodwork. People in the Midwest, you know, you've got your closet steampunk fans, your closet Doctor Who fans, your fans of anything and everything. And when someone actually has the opportunity to get a venue big enough to start playing in public, it's really going to bring an amazing pool of talent out.
Yeah, one of the things that we love about the steampunk community and art experience is that everybody's so excited about other people's projects as well. You know, so there's been other communities we've been involved in where there's not this mixture of, oh, well, those people do this thing better than we do or not as well as we do. So there's this kind of separation and
That actually happens a lot back east. We have a gal, Lady Loki. She's been doing cosplays for female Loki, and she's into doing Thor right now. And she says sometimes that's really prevalent back east. They've got the Star Wars people versus the Star Trek people, and I've never known that to be true in California at all.
Yeah, here everybody just seems like they're so excited about each other's projects. It's like, oh, how did you do that? You know, how did you put that costume together? Or some of our folks from the friends from League of Steam that I don't know if you're familiar with.
Oh, yes, we've heard of them.
Yeah. So some of the props and things that you know that they've made, you know, we get people coming in all the time. It's like, oh my gosh, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And so there's just kind of this almost, you know, reverence for the artistry that your neighbors are doing. You know.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty great.
So when my husband came by, actually, we call him the awful husband. That's an acronym for adult fan of Lego. Because he's a huge Lego fan. He was given his first set when he was 4 years old.
But not an awful husband.
He's not an awful husband, but he is the awful husband, the adult fan of Lego. And he was so excited because he's working on some scripts right now for a series of books that are they're based in a steampunk universe. So we're actually wanting to tie in his, promoting his eventual scripts and his books with costuming. And, you know, we saw the vests and we saw the hats and we saw the jackets and just kind of went bananas. So how true is it that you could come here and put together an entire outfit?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we get people that come in with an idea of what they want to create, and it usually comes from a character. You know, the example I always use is ladies come in and go, I want to be a steampunk pirate princess. And we go, okay, yes, this is what we can do with that. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of, because of just the community that we've become involved in, if there's things that we don't have in the store, like we don't carry any leather in the store, but we know all of these different leather workers are like, oh, okay, so if you need that kind of holster, here's the person that you should go to talk to that.
Oh, that is awesome.
So just trying to, again, use all the resources and plug people in.
So people could just come in and play.
Yeah, and that's the fun part, is actually getting people dressed up and seeing what things look like on them. So like, I had a lady in the other day, in her mid-20s, going, I've never worn a corset before. And you're like, oh, come here. Let's fix that.
I've worn a corset before, but my first one was for belly dance. One of those that it takes the girls, quote-unquote, and mashes them together and shoves them up in your face.
Yeah. Okay.
But I know there's different types. There's French and there's English types of corsets. And they hurt varying parts of the body to different degrees. But I'm sure that – so do you actually – for the corsets, do you have someone that can adjust them and make them to different body types?
Yeah, so we have a local – corsetier here that comes out. So there's some stuff that we carry that's, you know, off the rack variety that we find from collections. And then we have a local lady, Karen McKechnie, who comes out and we'll do custom fittings for folks. And you could bring your own fabrics in, and she'll, you know, create the corset that is going to be, you know, to your body.
Oh, that's awesome. Because spoonflower.com actually has a lot of, they kind of specialize in having graphic designers and artists go on their site, and you can actually create your designs. And at Gallifrey, they had corsets, and they had Doctor Who, they had TARDISes on them, and Daleks, and Cybermen, oh my. So, but that's great to know that you've got the connections for people to be able to do a customized corset, because I know for myself, when I went to Bat's Day at Disneyland, they were trying to fit me for one, and they said, well, you know, your torso is just a little too short. You would need something customized. So if you can have somebody that can actually break the boning and you know, make it to size, that's all important, I think.
Yeah, just going through our selection here, there's probably half a dozen to a dozen different styles, and you're right, it's all about you know, a handful of measurements and what you want to accent and what you want to hide. And so just getting that right shape down, you need someone that actually has built a number of them. Like Karen, you know, again, one of the benefits of being in Hollywood is we have all these folks that have worked in the industry for a number of years and have all of this experience costuming huge, huge shows. And we say, hey, can you come in and help out on this one person? Like, yeah, absolutely. We can fix that up.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because they do. Sometimes they have a lot of downtime. Definitely. Okay, well, Joshua, thank you so much. We've taken up enough of your time. You are awesome. Your store is awesome. Oh, my God. People need to come here, and you must come here now. So can you please give your contact information, Facebook, email, Twitter, the location of the store, website? Go for it.
All right. So if you are in Los Angeles, you can come and visit us at 707 South Main Street in Burbank. If you are on the interwebs, you can either go to clockworkcouture.com and find us there and see all of our collection. On Facebook, it's at Clockwork Couture on Facebook. Twitter is clockwork_CTR. You can also on Twitter find The Valley TARDIS, which our TARDIS out front has her own feed where she makes all kinds of comments that sometimes sound a little off as she's talking about the people who are visiting her. And I think that covers most of it.
Okay. And people, you've got to go like their fan page and connect to their feed. Make sure you follow them, not just like the page, because the way Facebook is doing their stuff right now, you've got to hit that follow button, especially for the events, because from what I understand, you do monthly events.
We do. We the next thing we have going on is International Tabletop Day, which is on April 5th. So it's, you know, the holiday put together with Will Wheaton and his crew from his web series Tabletop Day, or Tabletop. So this will be our second time doing that. We'll have probably 10 tables and 100 people out here playing board games all day long. So you can come by and visit us on that day. That would be perfect.
Oh, does that scream of awesome. Okay, everybody that knows a Will Wheaton fan, get on the horn, tell them to get their butt down here in April and go like that Facebook page. This is Time Siren with the owner Joshua of Clockwork Couture signing off. Everybody, keep your TARDIS in tune and set it for the year 2014 and get your keisters in here and get your costume on. Well, what'd you think?
That was awesome. And that place is awesome. And he's right. It's a little place really out of the way. If you're familiar with L.A. and the Valley and you know where the Equestrian Center is, it's about 4 or 5 blocks up from the Equestrian Center.
Yeah, and it's,
if that helps you find it,
crammed full of goodies. Joshua said, someone who wants to build a steampunk costume from the ground up can go in there and just play and put on stuff. And you know what? I really liked you in that vest.
I liked the vest. It was a nice red vest. And just putting it on makes you look different.
Yes, you looked very British.
And
in
I bought a shirt there that, you know, has the airship design on it, you know, Airship Construction Yard. And whatever that shirt on the video that the owner is wearing, that was a cool shirt.
Yes.
Because I can wear these shirts to work. You know,
yes.
They're still mundane enough. You can do that in most offices.
You can.
But it's definitely fanish too.
Yes. And again, if you're wondering what the heck we're talking about, because this is not a visual podcast, just go to the show notes for episode second season 2.21, and you'll see what we're talking about.
Yeah. But that is an awesome little store.
And it's wonderful. And again, as I said, next this coming weekend is Will Wheaton's Tabletop.
Which is April 5th? Saturday, April 5th?
It's that Saturday.
It's that Saturday.
And there's going to be gaming. And you know what? You should bring your magic cards.
Oh, my decks are old. Maybe I'll find somebody to play.
Hey, the last time you played somebody was just a couple of weeks ago and you beat him and you're rusty. You're a force to be reckoned with, dude. So anyway, check out our YouTube video channel. We are so proud of it. And believe me, it's hard enough to get the time during the week to edit this podcast like I've been doing for the past 3 years. To put a video channel on top of it is begging for trouble. But I am determined that we're going to be updating it ever so often. At least once a month, I'm going to put new video on there.
Well, when we go there next week, I think I want to do a walk around and just kind of show everybody what's in there.
Oh, cool.
I mean, you did some of that, but there's just so much stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's full of stuff.
Yes. There's one room that has the corsets and everything, and on the top of it says Victorian Secrets.
Yes, so they have a great sense of humor, and I love their octopus stuff in there, which was done by a Disney animator.
Ooh.
And they have the shadow cutouts of the doctors, which is funny because it reminds me of the shadow cutout my parents got of me at Disneyland. It's just a black form against white.
and
the silhouette little
the
thing.
Silhouette thing, yeah. And
it's kind of thing they do at Disneyland and parks like
these
that.
These people are so nice. Okay, much shout out, much love and hugs to Donna and Joshua. You were so gracious. You took time out of your schedule for us, you know, to do this. Not because it was not only because it was going to get you props and promotion for the store, because you really love what you're doing, and we could see that. And I was, you know, you said you've interfaced with the community, and yours was a grassroots, grow it from the heart. And it really was. And we wish you huge success in the future. We want to be there for everything. And to let people know, you heard it here first. In May, I am going to be teaching a class there on parasol making.
And she's got wonderful parasols.
I am so excited. They actually saw my parasols and went, oh, you know, it'd be good if you had a class here. And I was so calm. But inside, I'm going, eee! But on the outside, I'm going, oh, yeah, you know, that would be a great idea. And I really didn't take them in there with that expectation. It just happened, which again shows if you love what you're doing, opportunities open up for you, especially if you don't hide your nerddom.
And, like, and Will, you find said, people who appreciate your nerddom,
yeah,
and appreciate the kind of thing you love.
Yeah, so we tied this all up nicely in a bow. I kind of like
yes,
that.
We did.
This is Time Siren.
And this is The Awful Husband.
And Madwoman is in absentia. We hope you feel better and are back with us next week. And we miss you, Fireplace Gal. Give us a jingle. We always want you on. But
and you
know,
too, Brit Boy.
Yes, yes, Paul. We love you too. We know your wedding is coming up soon, and we just got the invite for it. It looks like your plans are coming together. We realize you're in that honeymoon phase, and you're setting up your home, and it's very domestic and wonderful. So,
and we're very happy for
yes,
you.
Yes, yes, very happy. And hopefully we will see you next year. At Galley, and we hope to see all of our audience at Galley, and it will be awesome and fantastic.
Yeah, we know that Jean, our station manager, has plans for Galley. Nothing set in stone yet, but we will have a presence there.
We
will be walking around.
We would
so
love to
hi.
Do a live broadcast. We are really pushing for that. The challenge is the place is built like a bunker. You can barely get a phone signal down there, and even with repeaters, it's a trial and error. So there are limitations, but maybe we could do something on
and
space site.
Limitations.
Yes, we could do something on site and then put it up like the next day if we can get a moment to tear ourselves away from the awesome guests that have not been announced yet. So check out our show notes. Check out our photos on our website, corsairs-closet.com. And links to our email addresses are there. If you have a corset project you want to work on and you want to get that done, you need some help. Again, Joshua at Clockwork Couture is more than willing to offer his resources and get you in touch with those people that work in the industry here, and you can get together with them and get your measurements to them. So, until next week.
Well, let me just say, it's not just costume pieces. There's T-shirts and a shirt I bought.
Yeah.
There was one, a Cobra figure, but all in the steampunk Cobra, so that was
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And jewelry.
There's fun.
There's like a
yes.
clockwork dragonfly necklace.
Yeah.
And so it just filled with all kinds of
things. A
pair
of scissors that were steampunked. I had my eye on them. Yes. And I'm not going to tell you how much they were or what they look like because it's mine and I want it. Anyway, we hope you have a great week. Come back to us same bat time, same bat channel next week. Catch us on Krypton Radio Wednesdays and 4 and repeats on Friday at 4. And this podcast will be archived soon thereafter the first broadcast on our click under the podcast link on corsairs-closet.com. In the meantime, be well and stay fanish. The Corsetaires would like to thank, blame, apologize, or lightweight to the reputations of all those involved in Will Wheaton's fan army, including the little girl he gave awesome advice to, Adagio Tease, J.J. Abrams for rocking the next Star Wars trilogy, Clockwork Couture, and Krypton Radio. This has been, was, or will be a Krypton Radio production. Please visit www.corsairs-closet.com for prior episodes, links to our social networks, show notes, email addresses, and our brand new blog, Skeletons and Shinies in the Closet. We would really love to hear from you.